You may have heard of us, but you might not know Bank First is a community bank that has no fee ATM access, interest and perks earning checking accounts. With online and mobile banking, mortgages for every stage of life, and modern business banking for businesses, small and big. We keep it all together to put you first. Do you bank with us? You should. Bank First is an equal housing lender and a member FDIC.
Well, welcome to Sunday Coffee here in the afternoon. Mississippi State's knocked off Auburn in all three games this weekend. We played a doubleheader earlier today. Played a couple, was supposed to be seven-inning games. We won the first one in 7-3-1, and then the last game of the series, a walk-off in the bottom of the eighth inning, 4-3, and the Dogs now 10-8 in the SEC. I'm Bart Gregory along with Charlie Winfield. We're in the Farm Bureau studios here in downtown Starkville. Farm Bureau, go with the home team at Farm Bureau. They have agents all across the state of Mississippi, whether you need home, life, auto, whatever you need in the insurance world. Our friends at Farm Bureau, and this is Sunday Coffee brought to you by our friends at Strange Brew Coffee House. StrangeBrewCoffeeHouse.com. They'll ship that great coffee to you. About to go on a little trip. I'm going to take some Strange Brew with me. Strange Brew Coffee House, Spring Street and Highway 12. Then in Tupelo with Brupelo and also in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. All right, Charlie, have you kind of unwinded a little bit after witnessing what we just witnessed?
Yeah, I suppose I have. Look, you needed the sweep. You had to have it. And now you find yourself, it's not crazy. Hear me out. It's not crazy that this team could play its way into hosting a regional.
I agree with that. You know, right now the RPI is not there, but you're going to have an opportunity. The RPI is going to go up because you do play at Vanderbilt and you do play at Arkansas. And so if you could pull off a win at each one of those places, it would definitely help a lot. But right now, you're in third place by three games in the SEC West. Arkansas is 14-4, A&M is 13-5, and we're 10-8 in the league. Vanderbilt's 10-8 on the other side. That's who you play next. But you got Vanderbilt, Tennessee, and Kentucky, the only double-digit win teams over in the East. And so there are only six teams in the league right now that had double-digit wins in SEC play.
Our RPI, as we record, of course, this will keep sorting out as we go forward today. Our RPI has moved up to 46.
And that's a pretty good jump since last week. But Auburn's RPI was not bad. I mean, they were 20 spots ahead of us.
And now they are two ahead of us.
Really?
Yeah, they've moved down to 44. But you look at what's left. You talk about the RPI is going to improve. You still have games against Vanderbilt, who's at 17, Ole Miss at 24, Alabama at 20, Arkansas at 2. North Alabama probably could use a rain shower. Their RPI right now, 269. You finish up with Missouri at 93. So your RPI is going to get better just based on who you're playing, assuming you do your job and win some games.
Yep. So right now, overall, at 26-14, 10-8 in the SEC. All right, let's look back at the weekend. I guess the first thing you got to talk about with baseball this weekend is the job that Cal Steven continues to do in that Friday night role. He's a bona fide Friday night dude.
Oh, yeah. He has become – I was trying to think, when was the last time that we had the reliable Friday night starter? And somebody's going to say, well, Bednar. Well, Bednar wasn't a Friday night starter, really.
No, McLeod was
Saturday.
Yeah, McLeod was your Friday guy that year.
You got to go back to Ethan Small.
Ethan Small was a legitimate Friday guy. And that was 2018, 19.
And so I think you've got to give some credit to Chris Lemonis and the group for finding Cal Steven. You know, when he was brought in through the transfer portal, there wasn't a lot of fanfare. If anything, there was a little.
We got a guy with a decent ERA from Purdue. And he didn't know how that would translate to this league. And he has really pitched well. You got to give him credit.
And so you look at where he is, and now take a look at Luke Holman. That was one of the guys that we talked about so much. Holman has been really good. His ERA, 2.78, 6-3 on the season. I'm going to throw out, just forget for a minute, wins and losses, okay? Let's just look at ERA a second. So if we were to have played the game of where do you want to allocate resources and how to do things, don't get me wrong, you'd love to have Luke Holman, right? But Holman right now got an ERA of 2.78. He's thrown 55 innings. You look at Cal Steven, he's got an ERA of 3.38. He's thrown 42. I mean, Cal Steven, has he been dominant at times? I mean, if you look at him, it's just been that one or two bad outings, really.
Yeah, and that LSU weekend. I mean, he was pitching on Saturday at the time. And the LSU weekend, the Georgia Southern weekend. And to be honest with you, Charlie, after that second weekend when we played Georgia Southern, I didn't know. I mean, I was still unsure. And then against LSU, you kind of wondered, that was the first SEC weekend, how would he pitch? And, man, just giving you such a good outing the last few times out. He has been dominant. And so that's a positive. You had double-digit hits in the Friday game. You were able to pull away late in that game. Auburn had an opportunity in the seventh inning. It had Ike Irish at the plate. It seemed like Ike Irish came to the plate in some big situations this weekend. We were able to get him out. And we were able to get out of a jam in the game on Friday. We end up winning that game 8-1. And then yesterday kind of unfolds. You know, yesterday was a kind of a weird day. You had the spring game going on, and you had the game last night that was scheduled for a 5 o'clock start with TV, which kind of gives you a hard start in that game. Now, I know the question was, could you start a game at 1 o'clock? Well, what you do is you'd start essentially game three at 1 o'clock, but then you had the spring game going on, and it was just kind of fruit basket turnover because nobody really wants to play two sevens, because that's what you have to do if you play a doubleheader in the final day of a series. And that's what we ended up having to do, is play 2 seven-inning games. I really felt bad for, you know, the people that stood in line yesterday trying to get in the ballpark, sat out there for a couple hours, and then it rained on them, and then, you know, didn't get into the ballpark, and the game didn't start. And so then you come back today and you have to play a doubleheader. It was a cool day at the ballpark today. But
you mean cool as in it wasn't hot, or hey, it's cool?
No, it was not hot.
Okay.
It was not hot. Now, speaking of cool, I actually did think that the fireworks and the drone show on Friday night was pretty cool.
It was, as those things go.
Yeah, I mean, that was a good addition as well. So you win the game on Friday. Hey, let's talk before we get to today and talk about the doubleheader. You and I had the opportunity yesterday of sitting in the southwest corner of the end zone. We're on a stage. They had the spring football game going on. So what that means when we're doing some broadcasting chores, we're doing some stuff for in the stadium, is you don't get a chance to watch the game as much as you would like to watch the game. Now, we did interview some guys. We talked to Willie Gay. It was great to see Willie coming back. Preston Smith, we had a good conversation with Preston. Who else we talked to? We talked to Benardrick McKinney yesterday. Who else, Charlie?
Emmanuel Forbes.
I forgot about Emmanuel Forbes. So it was great to see all those former players. You know, and it's funny, when former players come back, and a lot of times everybody thinks of the NFL guys. I saw Kendrick Market yesterday. You know, the first thing I thought of when I saw Kendrick Market, touchdown-saving tackle against Kentucky. Remember that? Open field tackle. Dude was going to walk in and score from about the 20-yard line. And we end up beating Kentucky several years ago, a touchdown-saving tackle. That's the things I remember about Kendrick Market, and saw Nelson Adams, and a lot of great, you know, a lot of good former players, man, coming back yesterday. We had a lot of former players back this weekend for the spring game.
I thought it was, man, it was a spring game.
As spring games go.
I think, you know, if you want to find things to like about a spring game, your quarterback play looked good. But there's no complicated blitzes being thrown. It's just hard to say.
It is, because
I did like throwing the ball down the field. And so kind of what you got to go a little bit by is the eye test, right? You saw some guys run the ball hard. You saw some tight ends that looked like they could play. And you saw some quarterbacks make some good throws.
And it's just the glass half full, glass half empty approach when you go to football practice or you go to a scrimmage or things of that nature, a spring game. When a guy gets open, you sit there and you worry about your cornerbacks. You know, if you underthrow a receiver, you're like, well, okay. He finished 18 of 22. Blake Shapen got off to the great start. And so, yeah, he looked good. But, I mean, hey, it's a scrimmage. And so you got past yesterday. All right, then today you play the doubleheader against Auburn.
Hey, I have to – before we get into that, I've got to go back to something because it's still bothering me.
Okay.
We talked about Cal Steven a minute ago, and we're comparing him to Luke Holman.
Uh-huh.
You know, nobody makes it easy on you to find SEC-only stats. You got to go dig a little bit. But here's what I can tell you, that Holman has allowed more than twice as many earned runs in league play this year as Cal Steven.
Whoa.
So you start to look at that raw ERA. What people forget is that Holman dominated Central Arkansas and Northern Illinois and Texas and Xavier. But then he's given up 17 runs in league play. Cal Steven's given up 8.
Wow.
So?
Yeah. Things may have worked out.
Well, I think what –
well, I mean, you would love to have had them both. You'd love to have three guys.
Well,
like
because
that.
If you had three guys right now, if you had Nate Dome healthy, and, you know, don't know what the situation there is, but if he can somehow get healthy and get back on the mound, you start to look at the staff and you think about when needing to win three games in a regional to advance to a super – you'd have to feel pretty good. Gerangelo looked really good today.
I thought Gerangelo looked really good today.
So, all right, so let's focus on today. Do you want to take it one game at a time? Do you want to talk overall impressions? What would you like to do?
Well, the first thing I'd like to do is look back in the technology world and thank the great human being that invented the cough button, because that's the thing I'd like to do first. Because we needed it late in that second game. Okay, let's start with the first game. We're going to talk positive. Gerangelo went 6 2/3 in a 7-inning game. And so he got one out away. And, Charlie, I thought, I mean, we saw it today on the broadcast. I thought the velocity was up. I was wondering how he would be after last week. They say he had some tightness in his back. Only went 3 innings last week and threw 54 pitches. I thought he looked as good today as he has all season long.
I thought he was really good. And I will say this for Gerangelo. He is a guy who continues. He doesn't really tail off. He kind of hits a spot where, you know it's time. But his velocity was hanging around the whole time he was out there. Now, it looked like early he was reaching back, getting a little bit more a couple of times. But you have to be very pleased with the outing you got from him. In that game for Gerangelo, he goes 6 2/3, 3 hits. One run, it was earned. He did walk 3, but he struck out 5. 110 pitches, 65 of them strikes. Lowers his ERA to 3.5. Then you go to Schulke for a hitter, and then after giving up a hit, Harden comes in.
In a tight situation.
In a big old spot.
All right, let's throw this out there. I'm trying to think back to a time. We saw Jared Liebelt a few years ago make a jump from the first season he was here to the second season he was here. The first year, Liebelt had a tough time getting people out. The second year he was here in 2018, wasn't it 18?
Yeah, he was good.
He was so good. You go to the College World Series that year, he was outstanding. This year, okay, so last year, Harden, I mean, getting whiplash because he was getting rocked, all right? You start this year, and it seemed like it was the same recipe. I mean, he was throwing more strikes, but he was getting pounded. And now, all of a sudden, Charlie, he's one of my top 2 or 3 guys I go to out of the bullpen. I mean, I don't think I can recall a guy making a transformation. I don't know if it's the change of a grip with a pitch. It seems like he has more movement now with his fastball. His fastball was straight early in the season. It was straight last year. He's getting more arm side run. I mean, you talk about mid-season adjustments.
Think about how many strikeouts he got today, fastballs away that were running away from left-handed hitters.
That's what I'm saying.
And that was the big change. That's why he came into game one, was because you had a lefty up there. Now, got a ball hit, but I've kind of gotten to the point, too, where I don't expect him to walk guys.
I do, too.
And then last year, of course, he didn't – in fairness, he didn't walk a lot of guys. He didn't get a chance.
Yeah, because he was getting
hit. The first pitch was turning his cap around like Charlie Brown.
Well, you look back to last weekend, you know, he had to pitch – well, he did pitch that one out in the Friday game, and that was the only time we saw him all weekend. You kind of wondered about the bounce back. He pitched twice today.
All right, so detour one moment, if we may, because you hit upon a theme that may have repeated itself, and that is last week you used – Harden in a game when Cal Steven, they don't want to throw him in the ninth. And I understand that. I get it. But the game was in hand. And so you roll forward to the next day, and you roll forward to Sunday, and you really need somebody to come in and throw some strikes in a big spot.
Well, and two, with that Auburn lineup, the way it was today, where they had four left-handed hitters in a row in that second game.
Yeah, so to the point, to finish it, that was Harden a week ago. This week,
it's Tyler Davis.
And on Friday, in a game that's 8-1, we go to Tyler Davis for not one, but two innings.
And I could understand, and you and I talked about this on the broadcast, about I could understand going to Tyler Davis in the eighth inning, because in the seventh, when Cal Steven, he was having to get out of some issues in the seventh inning in a close game. And we were getting Tyler Davis hot. It looked like he was about ready to come in. So you'd already
19 that Lee Belt was good, by the way. Sorry.
Okay.
We had talked about 18 or 19 earlier. It was 19.
Okay. It was 19. Okay. But Tyler Davis, it was hot. And so you would think that, you know, he's already warmed up. And you talk about guys loosening up and getting warm. Even though he may not pitch, did he get hot in the bullpen? He had gotten hot, so you bring him in for the inning. I was surprised to see him roll out there for the ninth.
I was too.
I was more surprised to see him in the ninth than I was the eighth.
But then again, you spring forward to today, and we did see him warming up at a time today. I don't know how that progressed, don't know what the mindset was. But there was a time also I thought if he was ready and feeling good, you probably would have gone to him in some of those big spots against those left-handers, which suggested to me that he wasn't ready to go. I don't know. We'll have to ask that later. But you use Schulke and then Harden in back-to-back games. And the thing was, they didn't throw a lot. I mean, they each faced one batter in game one.
Coming into the weekend, I think one of the big surprises, well, you don't want to say surprises, is the lack of offense for both of these teams this weekend at times. And it's really not surprising because we've kind of seen the play all season long, because there have been some games where we've had difficulties, especially against fastballs at 87, 88, and that's what Auburn was throwing the second game of the doubleheader. I thought Bauman, 90, 91, if still not, upper echelon velocity with fastball. We just have had some troubles with that. But Auburn has not been a bad hitting team this year, and you hold them to four hits in the first game today and two hits in the second game today. I think that speaks volumes of your pitching staff. I mean, you just played 15 innings of baseball, and he gave up six hits. So, I mean, our pitching staff is –
and there was only one inning all weekend with a crooked number for Auburn.
Right. And that's not a bad offensive team. I mean, not a bad offensive team at all. Where Auburn has really struggled is on the mound. And, they had a big error in the game on Friday night, a throw down to third base, threw a ball in the left field. We ended up scoring 200 runs right there. But, yeah, poor Butch, man. I love Butch to death, and I said this on Friday in our deep dig. I love Butch Thompson. I want to beat Auburn, though. I mean, I want to win. They're now 2-16 in the SEC. That's just pretty much a hole that's going to be hard to come out of.
How about the fourth inning today of game two? How easily this game could have turned out differently.
And I know Auburn's going to go back and say, man, we gave up a lead late, but they should have had more than three runs right there in that fourth inning.
Yes, let's go to the top of the fourth. You get a single. Hall, the left-handed hitter, we put the shift on. He inside outs one the other way like he's Tony Gwynn. Then a walk, then a walk, then a walk.
Mm-hmm.
Then a fielder's choice. That got a run home. Then a stolen base. Then another walk for good measure. But then Schulke comes in. You get an error.
Yep, I was about to say, you got an error in there somewhere.
And then the big play. Hernandez is up, and he hits a ground ball. It goes 1-2-3 on the double play. He got behind in the count 1-2, hits it right back to Schulke, who comes to the plate. We get the out at first, and you get out of it. So Auburn puts three on the board, but I remember you and I kind of looking at each other and say, man.
That could have been five or six.
And then later in the ball game, we get Hunter Hines up there who hits one to the wall.
Yeah, deep in right field. Got up under it. And I thought the wind, the way it was blowing, of course, it was blowing in from left, so you're not getting a push to right field. I was thinking the wind may catch that thing and take it toward the line a little bit, knock it out of here.
He hit it hard, but he hit that. He got under it. He hit it. I think if I remember right, the launch angle on that ball was like 46.5. So it hits
high fly ball.
But it doesn't matter at some point. We just needed a win.
Okay, all right. The positive is you swept the series. And you swept Super Bowl all weekend against the Auburn team. It's been reeling. You took care of business at home when you had to take care of business at home. And now home series the rest of the way. You've got Alabama in 2 weeks. And then later in the year, you got Missouri. Those are also weekends that you have to take care of business. You've got two road trips, one at Vandy next weekend and then another at Arkansas in a few weeks. Okay. You're sitting in good shape right now at 10-8 in the league. You feel good about where you are right now in the league. All right, let's be negative Nancy for a second. I hate to be this guy. But
you're just role-playing. That's all
you're
doing.
Yes, all I'm doing is
if you were going to be negative, if you were going to be half-empty, is not your nature.
If I was going to be half-negative, I would go back to my baseball with Tom Amansky and see if they had some base-running cues or things that we could work on there.
Yeah, and I don't want to single anybody out because it's bigger than one person.
It is, and it's not just one person. It happens all the time.
And over.
And it took me two batters to find a pin, another pin, after I broke that one. But, you know, getting a guy picked off at second base in a tie game with nobody out, that can't happen. That can't happen in baseball. And I tell you, and here's another thing, Charlie. All right, and I am very positive right now. We won all three games. If I'm Chris Lemonis,
I know where you're going.
And if I'm any coach in the, and it's not just Chris Lemonis. This is not a Mississippi State issue. This is a baseball issue in college baseball right now. You have two challenges that you can review every game that comes from the dugout. I got two. That's all I got. I would tell every player I have, son, if you want me to challenge a play, you better be right.
I think I said on the broadcast today that players around the league are averaging about 1% success rate. Anytime there's a close play, they start putting their hands up by their ears to say, you know, you want to put the headset on and go to the review. But they are wrong often. Not even just often.
Yeah.
A vast majority of the time. And it's not just that, man, you can't overturn it. There's so many times they're demonstrably wrong. I think what I would do is I would treat it like a technical foul. Like if I were the basketball coach, you know, you're going to owe me some stairs if you get a technical. I think if you ask me to challenge and I do and we lose, particularly, there's an aggravating factor here. We're going to make it even harsher if the call is confirmed.
Can you make them run? In today's world, can you make a kid run for that? Can you say, hey, you're going to run about 8 foul poles, we're going to let the crowd stay here and watch?
All right, then we'll let you sit a game. I don't care, whatever it is. They can run the bases with the kids after the game. No, but I'll go a step further because if college baseball is going to over-legislate everything the way they do now and all the dumb things that we've done, I'll give you one better. Treat it like a bat flip. All right, when you go to the head, you better find a better way to signal than everybody standing around looking at the dugout.
Yeah, I know it. Well, hey, at the end of the day, you won three games this weekend, and now you hit the road. You play Memphis. Don't we play Memphis on Tuesday night? Who do we play Tuesday night?
Well, you're the broadcaster. You're supposed to know these things.
I'm not here. It's not a home game.
Our next game is at Memphis.
We'll play at Memphis.
It's on Tuesday.
On Tuesday night. And so then we play at Vanderbilt next weekend, and then we play the Governor's Cup game against Ole Miss on a Tuesday night down in Pearl in a week and a half.
All right, hot sports opinion for you. I'm tired of that game. I want it to go away. End it, kill it, be done with it. And here is why. Number one, you're playing in a bad park. No offense to anyone, but it's not a great park. Well, maybe I should say it differently. It's an unreliable park. Keep in mind, this was the field where they had to cancel a game because turf was coming up.
But not this year. That was last year. When we went down there against Southern Miss, the dugout was flooded.
But with the Braves leaving there,
I know
it's not going to get better.
Well, and two, you see the ticket prices now, and you didn't have a big crowd at all against Southern Miss. I'd be very interested to see what the crowd will be like against Ole Miss too. I think they really struggle with getting folks down there for Ole Miss and Southern Miss as well. I think, you know, the way that they have gone, because I looked and see how much tickets were for those games, it's pretty crazy in itself.
So if I remember right, those tickets are like, if you want something around the infield, you're talking about over $50, aren't you?
I think it's like $80.
Whoa.
If you want a club seat, it's like $80. If you want something from the infield end, it's going to be $70.
Wow. So for midweek college baseball?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
And I don't know if that even includes fees.
Well, if you're on Ticketmaster, go ahead and prepare to pay a bunch.
Hey, you know who does nickel and dime you?
Who is that?
Our good friends at Cannon Ford. Cannon Ford, I mean, they'll give you a great deal. I mean, they will give you a great deal on a new or used car. If you need the body shop, you have a fender bender. If you need the service center, they'll treat you right. Our good friends at Cannon Ford of Starkville need a new spray and bed liner. You need the tires rotated. Need an oil change. They can do it now on a Saturday morning. So you work all week and you're just looking for a chance to get your car serviced. You can now do it on the weekend at Cannon Ford. That's our good friends at Cannon Ford of Starkville. Hey, we talked about our good friends at Heartland Catfish on the show on Friday for our weekend preview. Heartland producing the finest U.S. farm-raised catfish you can possibly want. It's over in the Mississippi Delta from their ponds all the way to your plate. They serve it in great restaurants around the South. High on the Hog in Grenada. I was talking about going to High on the Hog a few weeks ago. Joey was over there playing basketball. And, man, great catfish. Of course, the barbecue's outstanding at High on the Hog. But also the great catfish, and they get it from our friends at Heartland Catfish. Hey, I talked to Jeff Tarsi. Yesterday, Charlie?
I talked to him today between games.
Did you really? Okay. And so our good friend Jeff Tarsi.
Did you see Jeff Tarsi? You want to talk about cross promotion, by the way. Did you see the interview on the – it's not a Jumbotron anymore.
It's a video board.
Did you see the interview?
No.
So they do like this, I don't know, Taste of the Outfield or something?
Which is presented by Country Pleasing. Everybody's got the Country Pleasing sausage on a grill.
Well, and that, in fact, is what he had. And so they were interviewing Jeff and another person who I didn't catch. But Jeff commented on he's been going out there 50 years. He had Country Pleasing. So we've got a little cross promotion going there.
Yeah, you got Jeff. I mean, hey, real recognizing real. And I was talking to Jeff. Of course, he and Cindy, they both listen to the show a good bit. And Bubba Morris and just a great crew they've got with Nutrien Ag Solutions. And, Charlie, you and I have always been talking about corn and about them planting corn over the Mississippi Delta and the Black Belt and the East Central Mississippi. But one of the things we haven't talked about, they don't deal just in corn seed. I mean, they also deal with soybeans and wheat and so many other different things as well for growers on a huge basis, but also the fertilizers as well. And all those seeds are Dyna-Gro seeds if you need some Roundup Ready seed. They've got so many different varieties that you can plant and maximize your acres. Go to dynagrowseed.com to learn more and see your local Nutrien Ag Solutions to go ahead and order your seed today. For over 30 years, Dyna-Gro Seed has worked with local growers to find the best seed solutions for your farm. It's tested at research sites around the country and growers acres just like yours. And so if you're getting ready to plant your fields and some of those soybeans are going in the ground right now in the Delta, if they can get some better weather to help them out over there or in East Mississippi in the Black Belt, make sure you get the Dyna-Gro seed from our good friends at Nutrien Ag Solutions.
All right, overall feeling from the weekend.
We did what we had to do.
All right, even more overall, getting past baseball, Super Bulldog weekend, Nothing you can do about the rain.
It's not good. We haven't had many Super Bulldog weekends where we've had this situation where you do have that kind of rain. We did a few years ago for the spring game where we rained it out. I think that was maybe been Mike Leach's first or second year. Second year. First year was a COVID year. But or maybe it was before COVID. May have been. It was right there. No, it wouldn't. But anyway, because I don't even think they had spring practice. We didn't even have spring practice Mike Leach's first year. Remember that? But, nothing you can do about the rain. I thought football, it was a lot better than the 0-0 spring game that we saw many years ago. I did the sideline reporting for a TV broadcast a few years ago, Charlie, when it was 0-0. I also did a spring broadcast one time with Coach Sherrill. I think that may have been before the Sugarland concert.
That was an idea that didn't work out so great.
Well, I mean, are you saying that it was not worth the marketing?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, by the way, we got a little bit lucky yesterday. for, you know, we have all these recruits in town. You've got basketball recruits. You've got football recruits here for the spring game. And the rain, there was a little bit of what's everybody going to do? Shout out to the guys at the Sigma Chi House, because they had one of your favorites, Big X the Plug,
really?
In town yesterday. And tonight,
I just call him the Plug.
Well, the Plug today is at Red Rocks Amphitheater. How about that for a – last night he was in Starkville, Mississippi with a lot of the football team, a lot of the recruits. Today he is at the Red Rocks Amphitheater out in Colorado.
Man, you know what? I bet he's out at Red Rocks right now. You ever been out at Red Rocks?
I have not.
That's a cool place, man. I bet he's sitting out there going, man, this ain't nothing like Starkville.
He'll be hitting up Lollapalooza soon.
Really?
And so, he's probably, you know, feeling a little down today.
Hey, guy walked in the booth today, and he had the Bulldog Initiative gear on.
Hey, how cool was that?
That was pretty fun. And so, yeah, I bet he got that Bulldog Initiative gear, unless you gave it to him.
I did not. That was purchased.
Okay. So, he purchased it at Maroon & Company, Cotton Mill Marketplace, right by Chick-fil-A. Go to Maroon & Company or maroonandco.com. They've got you covered with anything Mississippi State. Got that old interlocking MSU, all the logos. And so our good friends at Maroon & Company producing that great Bulldog Initiative gear. Go to maroonandco.com or the store. Tell them the code NIL10. They'll give you 10% off your purchase and send 5% to the Bulldog Initiative. And we talk about country pleasing sausage a minute ago. Country pleasing made right here in the state of Mississippi. You can't beat the flavor. Had a chance to throw it in there on the broadcast today, Charlie. They're a sponsor for Mississippi State.
And you've been known to take advantage of those opportunities in the past.
Well, they're a sponsor of Mississippi State, but I was just wanting to, you know, our fine brethren who are in the eastern state to let them know.
Pretty good sausage. They can take it home with them.
They got to take it home. Slow down in Gordo and reform. Hey,
real quick on the Bulldog Initiative front. We had a chance. You and I got to wear Bulldog Initiative gear yesterday while we were doing our sideline work. Emmy Perkins was doing some interviews of players at the game. That was kind of cool. And we've got a lot of cool things coming up. I don't know if you saw last week putting out a lot of video. Did you see the Johnny Long video?
I did see the Johnny Long video.
I liked that one.
I did too.
Mostly because I wrote it. But
what?
I mean,
I thought that was – are you telling me that was acting?
That is what I'm telling you, yes.
Why? Why did you do that? You should have just let Johnny go in there and say what he wanted to say.
A little peek behind the curtain there.
Okay.
But got some longer form interviews coming up. We got a lot of cool things going there. And also, Bulldog Initiative members, our monthly, our quarterly, our annual members have already gotten a link on their email to download a membership card that goes into your digital wallet. Okay. So you. Just like on your Apple phone,
yeah.
You've got your Android, you go to your wallet just like you would a ticket, right? You can pull up your Bulldog Initiative membership card. And you say, okay, that's cool. What am I going to do with it? Well, one of the things you could have done with it this weekend is you could have clicked on it and you could have gotten 10% off at Two Brothers of anything you purchase. And so Two Brothers Smoked Meats here in Starkville, they got us going on doing this. They were our first sponsor for the Bulldog Initiative membership card. And so what we're going to do is we're going to keep rolling out things to help people take advantage. And we've got a little protection built in so that somebody can't just like screenshot their card and say, here, I'm a member. It's got your name on it. It's got your member number, but it's a live card. So when you have to go up to the little top where there's the little three dots inside the circle, click there to give you pass details and you can see the benefits that you've got on the back. So we'll be doing specials rolling out when people come into town with some of our sponsors.
Tech savvy, man. Everybody getting deals because they're Bulldog Initiative members.
Well, we're working on a new deal coming up right now, working on a student membership that's going to hopefully unlock some discounts around town and around the state for our students. So if we've got some businesses out there, solicitation coming, if you've got a business, you want to get involved, you want to offer some deals to Bulldog Initiative members to help incentivize them to continue supporting us, please, please reach out because we want to help promote you. We want to help support our members and give something back to them for helping us.
All right, let's get out of here. Good weekend. We won 3 baseball games. We won a football game against ourselves. We beat ourselves, what we did, Charlie, but we won it convincingly.
I think it's best that I just step away from this conversation.
You hit the cough button?
Yeah, again? I'm hitting the cough button on that one.
Hit the cough button again. Hey, appreciate you guys hanging out with us here on an afternoon version of Sunday Cough.